Amen. Thank you, Ashley. You can join me in your Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Now, each of the main points actually is going to be found in Genesis, but the passages will be up on the screen. And so I don't want to wear you out by having you turn to all these different passages, although they're all very close together. You're welcome to, if you'd like to. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. I want you to see the end result at the beginning. And then we're going to trace all the way through Sarah's journey of faith. And I trust that this will be a help and encouragement to you to walk by faith, to mature in your faith, to trust in the unfailing God. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. In verse 11, focus for a moment on that phrase, because she judged him faithful who had promised. This was not always her position. This was not always her hard attitude. I'm encouraged in the Word of God at the stories of real people with real struggles, and that often people who knew God still struggled in their walk of faith. One of my favorite New Testament stories is in Mark chapter 9, where there is a father who brings his demon-possessed son to the disciples. Now, the inner circle of the disciples and Jesus were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and as they come down, there's a great tumult with the crowd and the other of the nine apostles, because they had brought, this man brought his demon-possessed son to them, and they could not cast out this demon. And so Christ is approached by this man when he asked what's going on, and the man said, Lord, I brought my son unto your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. But the man says, if thou canst do anything. Have you ever had that attitude in praying to God? Lord, if you can do something about this. Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus' response to him was this: if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In the Greek, it's really a boomerang effect. In a sense, the man questions the ability of Christ and said, Lord, if you can do anything, please help us. And Christ, in essence, when he answers him, says, if thou canst believe, is saying the question is not, do I have the power? Because I am Almighty God. I have the power to cast this demon out. I have that authority. The question is, will you believe? Because all things are possible to him that believeth. And then the man cried out and said with tears, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Literally, assist me against my unbelief. But he said something very important right before he asked that request. He said, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And his faith, as small and as frail and as weak and as tiny as it was, he placed in the Almighty Savior, and immediately Jesus cast the demon out. And they were all amazed, the crowd, and they said, we never saw it on this fashion. The Lord Jesus Christ did a supernatural miracle which brought him glory. And sometimes we find ourselves in the same place. Our faith weak, fragile, bruised, sifted. And as we look at Sarah today and we see her journey of faith, and we could be discouraged if we just look in Hebrews 11 and say, wow, she judged God faithful who had promised. What a woman of faith. And for our moms, sometimes there are struggles, there are doubts, there are fears, there are things in which we know the promises of God and the instruction of the Word of God, but we are tempted not to obey because we're just not quite trusting that it's really going to work. or that God sees or that God knows or something. In Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that he was going to make him the father of a great nation, and through that nation, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. And we understand today that that is through the nation of Israel that Messiah, Jesus Christ, came. And that he died on the cross and shed his blood on the cross. The innocent, perfect, sinless Lamb of God was slain. He sacrificed himself and shed his blood as the sacrifice for all our sin. Amen. That he was buried and he conquered death and rose again 3 days later, resurrecting from the dead. That he is the way of salvation. That was the promise God made to Abraham. You're going to be the father of the nation of Israel, and through the nation of Israel, Messiah is going to come, and through Messiah, the opportunity for eternal life, for salvation, will be made available because of his sacrifice on the cross. We get to Genesis chapter 15, and God relates the covenant with Abraham that through his own natural son, God says, I'm going to give you a son, and he says he's going to proceed from your own body. God is very specific. Abraham, this is going to be your natural son, not an adopted son, not some sort of surrogate son. This is going to be your natural son. And the story of Abraham's faith is also the story of Sarah's faith. And so since this is Mother's Day, and Sarah was the mother of Isaac, hence, we could say the mother of the nation of Israel. And then we're going to focus on Sarah's faith today. But this message isn't just for moms, although moms, I hope you'll receive great encouragement, be challenged to continue to mature in your walk of faith with Christ. But I trust that that will be an encouragement and a challenge for all of us, and that whatever you're struggling with today and wherever you are doubting God, then God would help you to take that next step in your walk with him, to grow in faith and to trust him, and to see God do that which only he is able to perform. Look, if you would, it should be up on the screen in just a minute. Our first point is Sarah's detour, and we're in Genesis chapter 16, the first four verses. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. She said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord, Yahweh, has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. His faith was imperfect too. God had made all these promises to him. Right? He's in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Paul has great glowing things to say of his faith in the book of Romans. But if they really believed the promise of God in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, would he have hearkened? Would he have obeyed the voice of Sarah and had this relationship with Hagar and have a son through him because it was Sarah's idea? And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her unto her husband, to her husband Abram, to be his wife, and he went in unto Hagar. She conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah's detour. It appears that Sarai is trying to help God out with her practical plan of having a child through Hagar. Now, Sarai stated that Yahweh had restrained her from bearing, and she was right. To this point, God, for his own glory and his own purposes, had purposely restrained her from bearing. Do you think that Abram and Sarah desired a child? Absolutely. They greatly desired a child, specifically a son. And God had promised them a son. And God had even promised it would be their own natural son. But Sarah says, well, I think God needs a little help with his plan here. Things aren't happening quickly enough. I'm not seeing God answer prayer. Therefore, I'll take matters into my own hands. She did that which she shouldn't have done. God's planning and God's timing are perfect, yet our faith is most often challenged by waiting. I think that's one of the hardest lessons in the Christian life to learn, is to wait on God's timing. My point is not to fault Sarah for her imperfect faith. Remember, she didn't have any of the written scriptures, nor the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. She only had the word that God had spoken to Abraham. But the point is that the Bible records for us her journey to mature faith, which God rewarded as he had promised to Abraham and Sarah. But here's the admonition. Let's be careful not to violate commands of Scripture and principles in order to make something good happen. Someone has said it is never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Any action we take should be within the boundaries of God's word. His word and his will are never in conflict. Second, I want you to see Sarah's disbelief. Look in, and it should be on the screen, in Genesis chapter 18. Begin in verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. I'd say 190 is, that'd be accurate, well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. God promises Abraham a child through Sarah, chapter 17, and God even instructs him to be named Isaac. We read that in our scripture reading this morning. In verse 9, Yahweh appears with two angels in the form of men. They ask about Sarah, where is she? And then Yahweh again gives this promise in person to Abraham. Sarah's listening in the tent. And she laughs internally when she hears that she's going to bear a son soon. It's interesting that God confronts Sarah's heart, for it says she laughed within herself. You know, I know that this is a laugh of disbelief, but I wonder if it wasn't also tinged with a little bit of bitterness. Why is God making me wait so long? God promised. I tried to help God out. God doesn't like my plan. God said, no, that's not going to be. Now God's coming to me and telling me, after I've tried everything I know to do, waited so long that now I'm going to bear a child. Yeah, right. Not only God knows her heart, but he did know her heart, didn't he? Yes. And he called her on it. He started with a question. Hey, why'd she laugh? And Sarah's afraid. I didn't laugh. But isn't it interesting? God doesn't just let that go by. He said, oh, yes, you did. I think there was something in God's rebuke and calling her on it and refuting her denial that was an important step in growing her faith. And you know, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who always ministers to us according to the word, we who are born again believers. And isn't it amazing how we cannot escape the confrontation and the consistent confrontation of the Holy Spirit when we're wrong? And we can deny it, but the Holy Spirit's not going to leave us alone, is he? Because God loves us too much to let us keep going in the wrong direction. Do you know, we live in a day and an age where everybody's truth is relative to their perspective. My truth, your truth. God does not accept that. God says, oh no, Sarah, you laughed. He knew her heart. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In verse 10, God answers, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Let's not forget what the author of Hebrews tells us. In Hebrews 4:13, that all things are naked and open, completely exposed before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In James, the Bible says that there is a man who seems to be consistently godly, a religious man who bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. But God is not deceived. And God confronts her, and maybe God's confronting a mom this morning with unbelief. And sometimes unbelief takes the form of disobedience, like Sarah's did. She took a detour, and she went outside the boundaries of God's rails on the road, so to speak. You know the guardrails? And she went through the guardrails. But sometimes, you know, because sin is not just doing what God says don't and just violating when God says don't do that and we go there, but disobedience is also not doing what God commands. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And sometimes there are moms who say, you know what, I've tried that, it hasn't worked. My kids still fill in the blank. I give up. So what do the child psychologists say? What works? What are other people saying works? Instead of getting back to the Word of God and getting some biblical counsel. And by the way, biblical counsel is extremely practical. But there was something about God's confrontation, about Sarah laughing in her disbelief, and I think maybe bitterness, although I'm not sure. I know the disbelief for sure. That was vital in turning her heart towards faith. So the work that the Spirit of God may be doing in you, whether you're a mom or not, in any of us, we all face challenges of faith. But maybe there's something where, like Sarah, you say, you know, I've waited and I've waited and I've waited and I've wanted and I've wanted and I wanted and I know this is good and I know God has promised and I've tried to help God in every way that I can and nothing is still happening. Don't give up. Or if you've had, say, all right, Lord, I'm going to repent. I'm going to submit myself again to your word, and I'm going to start doing what you have said I need to do, and I'm going to trust you with the results and your timing in it. And you know, God began to transform Sarah's faith. Look, in Genesis chapter 21, Sarah's laughter. This is so wonderful. The Bible says in verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah, did unto Sarah as he had spoken. By the way, God always does. There's not failed one word of all his good promise, 1 Kings 8:56. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time which God had spoken to him. Continuing on. The Bible says, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah had bare to him, Isaac, just like God told him to. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old, and his son Isaac, when his son Isaac was born unto him. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Ha! Her first laugh was a laugh of unbelief, of disbelief, of just that's just too incredible for me to believe. How's that going to happen? And it turned from that to a laughter of rejoicing. The one was, I can't believe it's going to happen. The other is, God did it, and I'm rejoicing. Folks, we must believe in the God of the impossible, but we also need to understand that fulfillment of his promises is not based on the depth or strength of our faith, but on his faithfulness. We just trust and obey. The power for the fulfillment of the promises is not in us. It's not in our faith. There's nothing mystical or magical about our faith. She said, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed. That's not very big, is it? 1 Kings 8:56, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. In Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing, and they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And what, by the way, does Isaac's name mean? Laughter. But you know, that takes on more of a success, of a significance in my mind as I study through her whole story of her growing and maturing in her faith in God. Because her first laughter was one of disbelief. And God confronts her with that, and she chooses to respond to that. And then God honors her and Abraham's faith, and now she is laughing with great rejoicing. Every time she saw Isaac, I think she was reminded of the entire journey from disbelief to rejoicing. And she learned that God is always faithful and always worth trusting. Always worth following. Always worth obeying. Now, we're back in Genesis chapter 17, which is part of our text, because I want you to see Sarah's legacy. And just to remind you, we read this in our scripture reading this morning, but I want you to just read part of that. Verse 15 to 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt no longer call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? But look what God said. He said, she's going to be a mother of nations. She was the mother, if you will, of the nation of Israel. But I remind you of the Apostle Peter's words that he writes to the church when he says, but ye are a chosen nation. We're a holy people. Because of Sarah's and Abraham's faith, God gave Isaac. Through Isaac came the nation of Israel. Through the nation of Israel came Messiah. No wonder Sarah's in the hall of faith. And then go back with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Now let's read this again. In Hebrews 11, 11 and 12, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. That is a gift of God. She didn't have that strength in herself. Her body had stopped functioning after the natural way of childbearing. She was way past that. This was totally miraculous. And think of a 90-year-old having the strength and the endurance to go through the birth process. That's a miracle of God. Through faith, she received strength to conceive seed. I think sometimes we read through these passages. This is why meditation is so valuable. Because you and I, in our weakness, sometimes forget the supernatural grace of God that's powerful enough to take a 90-year-old woman through childbirth. And was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah regarded that God is faithful and able to do as he promises, and she acted accordingly. Another point that I want to make as properly as I can is that Abraham and Sarah had to actively participate in God's plan, although he is the one who worked the miracle. They had to believe and say, okay. And there was something they had to do. And if they said, I don't know, I don't believe God quite enough for that. But they did. And folks, we have to cooperate with God in his plan. That's why he's given us his word, to guide us, to instruct us, and we follow him and we obey. Faith is not believing God when I see the rest of the story, the outcome, the end, when I can see what's going to happen, that's not trust. Trust is when I can't see the outcome, but I look to God and trust him and follow him. And Sarah is held up as an example of a woman who grew in faith. I know that the attitude of godly moms is that they feel unworthy to be held up as an example because they're imperfect. Did you see all the imperfections in Sarah? And yet she's held up as an example of a woman of faith. Moms, Take encouragement from that. That God wants you to be an example to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and maybe even to your husband. As an example of one who matures and walks by faith in God and in His Word. So I got three questions for you to challenge you with, and we'll not have a come forward invitation this morning. But what I will do is have our pianist come and she'll play a hymn of invitation. Our heads will be bowed while the music is playing. And I want you to consider these questions and then respond to God accordingly. Now, the first one is, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation? Have you trusted Him with your soul? Have you believed that Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross and shed His blood for you, was buried, and He rose again, not merely as a historical religious fact or group of facts, not merely as some confession, religious doctrinal statement, but as a personal reality that Jesus died and rose again because He loves you. He wants to cleanse and forgive you of your sin. He wants to give you everlasting life. He loves you and wants to spend eternity with you forever. And the only way that you can do that is to put your faith in what He did on the cross and in Him. Jesus is the living Savior. Call to Him today and be saved. And so in that first question, even though we don't have a come forward invitation, I'm going to give you this invitation. In a moment, we bow our heads and we close our eyes and our musician plays the hymn of invitation. Would you ask God to give you the courage to talk to somebody that you know can take the Word of God and show you the way of salvation? I'll be back at the connection point. I'd be glad to help you. But there are other folks here in this auditorium who know the gospel, who can take the Word of God and show you the way of salvation and help you with that. But just say, Lord, would you give me the courage to talk to somebody and settle this matter? Lord, maybe you're a little confused. And you say, Lord, would you please give me clarity on this? Help me to understand because I want to be right with you. Second, is there a circumstance in your life where you need to wait on God and trust in His promise? Yes. Then would you pray and give that over to the Lord and spend this invitation time communing with Him over that? And then third, will you commit by God's grace to be an example of walking by faith with God? That is not a commitment to make lightly, but it's a commitment that every believer should make. Shall we bow our heads right now? Our pianist is coming to play our hymn of invitation. And while she plays, would you respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart right now? Our Father, we ask that in this quiet moment, we would be freed from all other distractions and be focused on the work of your Holy Spirit through the ministry of the Word of God today. That if there is one here who has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would understand the truth of Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And may they believe on Jesus Christ today in a personal way and accept eternal life through Him. Oh Lord, for those who are facing challenges of faith, some maybe small, some very severe, maybe some that have been going on for years, Lord, I pray that our strength in you would be, because we walk by faith, we would be encouraged to continue to follow you and to obey. And if we have run out of the guardrails, that we would come back within the boundaries of your word and your will to be in obedience and to trust you and to trust your timing, to give over that to you, that which is such a burden. May we cast our care upon you, knowing that you care for us. And then, Lord, may we be willing to commit this morning in this invitation time to be willing to be an example of one who walks by faith. And whatever you have to do in our lives, Lord, in order to transform us, to walk by faith, to mature our faith, and to be an example to others, oh Lord, we invite you to do the work of transformation you need to do so that you can use us for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. As our pianist begins to play now in this quiet moment, would you respond?